And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to The Savage Nation. We have very good news for those of you out there who hate the United States and hate the U.S. military and hope that it's crippled. The so-called Pentagon has ended a ban on transgender soldiers. Now, that should make you feel good if you're a stoner who went to Harvard or NYU. But if you are a red-blooded, testosterone-driven American male who enlisted in the U.S. military because you're willing to give your life for your country, you would be ready to throw your guts up and leave the military. Now, I have a question for you. We are always lied to and told that it's not Islam, but a few crazies who have hijacked the great religion, right? How many times have you heard that? ISIS sets off a bomb in Turkey, it's not Islam. ISIS kills people in San Bernardino, it's not ISIS. It's a few crazies who have hijacked the great religion. Well, what would you say about the few crazies who have hijacked the U.S. military? What would you say about Obama and his radical militants who have hijacked a great U.S. military? Do they represent the U.S. military in their policies? Or is this a group of radicals like the jihadists in Islam who have hijacked the great institution? Nobody in the world has said what I just said. You're not going to read it anywhere. No one could think the way I do. Now, on the face of it, nobody wants discrimination against gays, lesbians, bisexuals, or transgenders. But it's far different to not discriminate against people of a certain sexual orientation than it is to integrate them into a macho culture where a macho culture is required to kill the enemy. The military is not a social experiment. It's not about a pair of shoes and a uniform and a pension, which is what it has become under Obama, but it's gotten even worse. I'm going to play for you a soundbite from the creepiest Secretary of Defense imaginable, Ashton Carter. And wait until you hear who he actually is and why he was chosen by this radical in the White House to lead the Pentagon. It was bad enough who we had before him. It's a sequence of one after the other. Rotten secretaries of state who represent foreign interests. Rotten defense secretaries who represent the enemy, who weaken the military. And I'm going to ask you the same question again, because maybe you didn't catch it the first time. We are always lied to and told it's not Islam, but a few crazies who have hijacked the great religion. Wouldn't that apply to Ashton Carter, who's running the Pentagon, and Barack Obama, who's running Ashton Carter? Wouldn't you consider them crazies who have hijacked the great U.S. military? Doesn't Obama and his radical militants, don't they represent a small population in America? Not the overall, let us say, sympathies of the military. Do they represent the U.S. military? Well, wouldn't you say they've hijacked the great military? Listen now to Secretary Carter in his stunning announcement of today, by the way, overriding all of his generals. Listen.
Now, as a result of this year-long study, I'm announcing today that we're ending the ban on transgender Americans in the United States military. Effective immediately, transgender Americans may serve openly. And they can no longer be discharged or otherwise separated from the military just for being transgender. Additionally, I have directed that the gender identity of an otherwise qualified individual will not bar them from military service or from any accession program. In taking these steps, we're eliminating policies that can result in transgender members being treated differently from their peers based solely upon their gender identity rather than upon their ability to serve. And we're confirming that going forward, we will apply the same general principles, standards, and procedures to transgender service members as we do to all service members.
You piece of garbage, you. I can't take it. I can hardly listen to this. I'd like to reach out through the screen and grab him and shake him and say, how did you get in this position? Who put you here? How in the world does a man of this low caliber wind up ruining a military? The answer is he was handpicked. If I tell you what his background is, you'll know that Obama picked him out of a slough of useless idiots. You can hear how he reads this speech. He knows that he is decimating the military's morale. He knows he is destroying the spirit, that is necessary in a fighting force. He knows what he is doing, and even he knows that he shouldn't be doing this. You can hear it in his voice. He's almost crying. Even he's mumbling like he's eating pablum. I have no question for you. This is not a clever little show to ask you a question about transgenders in the military. I will go to the military themselves and ask them what they think. And let them explain what having transgenders will do to frontline troops. Do you have any idea what this is going to do to the cost of running the military? Do you know that these individuals will qualify for surgery at your expense? Instead of taking care of veterans who are rotting in the hallways of VA hospitals, this sick, perverted, degenerate, twisted, low-life administration would rather spend the money on things like this. There are no other words for it. What do you want me to say? Do you want me to speak like Tom Brokaw about a thing like this? I can't do it. The country is dying in front of our eyes. This is after a bombing in Turkey. A day later, this low-life Ashton Carter makes an announcement like this, and there's not one word of protest from the generals. What kind of generals do we have? They're all afraid of their own shadows. But I have another story for you that you're not going to believe. I have another story that you're not going to believe. Remember that sad story a few months ago of those two fast boats that were captured by the Iranians? And the boys and the girls on the boats gave up without firing a shot. And they broke down in tears and cried. And they gave up all of the secret information of the boats and their mission without fighting back, without firing a shot. And that deceitful criminal, John Kerry, had the nerve to say the Iranians treated them very well. That traitor, John Kerry, said the Iranians treated them very well. I have an intelligence report of the actual event that nobody in the media has yet gotten, which describes exactly what happened on those boats. And you'll be shocked to find out exactly what happened on those boats a little later on in the Savage Nation. It was sent to me by someone inside who cannot believe that these men were all not court-martialed. Every last man and woman on that boat should have been court-martialed. Now, they did fire the captain of that mission, but we're not sure if he was a fall guy. I suspect it was the Secretary of the Navy herself who should have been fired. Another one who probably can't drive a Chris Craft speedboat, who was implanted there by the small group of radical revolutionaries who have hijacked the U.S. Navy. The same group of revolutionaries, the small band of jihadists, left-wing jihadists, hijacked the U.S. Air Force, putting a woman in charge of the U.S. Air Force who has never flown a Piper Cub. I'll ask you again. We keep hearing the big lie that it's not Islam itself, but a few crazies who have hijacked the great religion. Wouldn't you say that these are a few crazies who have hijacked the U.S. military, meaning Obama and his radical revolutionary militants? Do you think they really represent the best interests of the U.S. military, or have they also hijacked something far greater than any of them? Now, I want to ask those in the military to call the show. Where is the mutiny? Where is the Defense Department standing up to these psychotics? Why must I be the only one screaming in the wilderness? Am I crazy or are they crazy? Will this affect troop morale? Let me ask those of you on the sidelines. You're in a frontline unit. You're facing vicious enemies who will die for their twisted beliefs. They rape women called Yazidis. They kill children. They burn people alive. They cut off their heads. You're a frontline troop. You're an American male. Would having a transgender up there with you strengthen the morale of the unit or weaken the morale of the unit? I'll ask you. You be the expert. That's the opening of the show. I hope you'll be here when I come back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Right now, most of our transgender service members must go outside the military medical system in order to obtain medical care that is judged by doctors to be necessary. And they have to pay for it out of their own pockets. This is inconsistent with our promise to all our troops that we will take care of them and pay for necessary medical treatment.
You know, if there were war crimes trials after this radical leftist regime leads, Ashton Carter should be at the top of the list. This man should be tried for treason. Do you know what he just said? Do you know what that slimy thing just said? He said that your grandfather, your father, rotting away in a VA hospital in a ward, who is not being taken care of because of the vermin who run the military, are going to be put at the back of the bus, and that transgenders will be given operations at your expense. You talk about insanity. Let me ask you, how do you define insanity? You know, one of the definitions of insanity is disorder, a disordered mind, the inability to prioritize what is important or what is unimportant. By that definition, Ashton Carter and Barack Obama belong in a madhouse. He is going to prioritize medical care for transgenders and put that over combat veterans who are waiting for treatment in the VA hospitals across America. This is what he does before July 4th. If this is not a punch in the guts to people who serve this country, tell me what worse he could do to them. Tell me what worse this slimy creature could do to them. Again, I'm going to have to remind you, because many of you are so, I don't have the right word, I think you're deadened. I think you're so deadened you don't even know what's going on, nor do you care. You've been beaten up so badly by this psychotic society of ours that you can't even understand what I'm saying to you. You've been so brainwashed since childhood that you don't know how bad this is. Nobody wants to discriminate against transgenders. How many are there? What percentage of them are there that they would twist the entire military around them? What's the percentage? 0.1%? So you twist the entire military around 0.1%. Well, by definition, we are witnessing the hijacking of a great institution, the U.S. military, who do not represent the U.S. military. They are like the jihadists who we are told have hijacked the great religion. We're always told it's not Islam, but a few crazies who have hijacked the great religion. That's over and over and over and over again. Well, by that definition, Barack Obama is one of these crazies who have hijacked one of the greatest assets of the United States of America, which is our military. It's what kept us free. It's what defeated Hitler. As I've written in my previous books, never forget it was every man who defeated Superman. It was your grandfather Eddie who died on Omaha Beach. It was your grandfather Eddie who died on Iwo Jima. And look what they died for so this piece of garbage could destroy the U.S. military. Now, I could do this in a quieter tone, but it would have no effect on me. I need to get this out of my stomach because I'm ready to break the computer screen. I don't know what to do with my rage. I don't know where the outrage is in the country. Why must I be the last man standing? Why must I be screaming in the wilderness? Where the hell is everybody? They're certainly not in the military. Where are these generals? What happened to them? Where are all the generals who would defend us? The answer is nowhere. They're nowhere to be found. That's why we're losing the war against this ragtag army that doesn't even have an Air Force or a Navy. We can't beat them? Now you know why. Because the Army and the Navy, the Air Force, is twisted, mentally deranged. They're all looking over their shoulder. Like in any major U.S. corporation. That's why corporations are broken. You think that they have cohesion in corporations? They don't. Every middle manager is looking over his shoulder, wondering when the axe will fall. Wondering when he'll wind up or she'll wind up walking in, and there'll be a carton waiting in the lobby for them of their personal possessions, and they're thrown out. It's the same in the military. Obama has destroyed the U.S. military in every branch of service. Not solely because of this, I can give you 15 other reasons. But I'm going to ask you, ladies and gentlemen, if you were a member of ISIS after you just bombed Istanbul, which, by the way, apparently the FBI is still investigating, they're sending a crack team of sickos over there from wherever they come from, with their rubber gloves, their DNA sampler. They'll be there for 6 months in Istanbul looking for DNA. We knew it was ISIS the first minute it happened. But the head of the FBI doesn't know who did it yet. They're going to investigate it and then get back to MSNBC with the report in 9 years. This is the country you're living in. So why is Obama doing this just before July 4th? You know why? A, because he can, and B, because he hates this country with a you don't even understand the hatred that these leftists have for this country. You don't understand how they hate the police and the military. You have no idea how vicious they are. Moreover, you don't have any idea what will happen to this country if they're not stopped. And the only way to stop them is for 10 generals to stand up and say we are going to resign unless this is rescinded, because the military cannot take this. Number two, we have to prioritize our combat veterans for medical care as opposed to transgenders getting reassignment surgery, where the boy becomes a girl and the girl becomes a boy. That's the U.S. military? So what happened first in the universities when the psychos took over the colleges and ruined the universities have now ruined the corporate world. They've ruined virtually everything they touch. Now they're touching the last thing that's left. Before the sicko leaves office, he wants to leave a scorched earth. He wants to leave a scorched earth that can never be repaired. You know, oh God, read about Carthage. Read about what the Romans did to punish the Carthaginians, after they, because the Carthaginians tried to attack Rome and failed, the Romans then went to Carthage, and after they destroyed Carthage, they salted the earth so that it would never, ever come back. It couldn't come back. Obama is practicing a scorched earth policy against the institutions that made America great. He is salting the earth so that it can never recover. That's what he's doing. That's my opinion. And I'm only one man, but apparently I'm the only man who is seeing and saying this. I'm the last man standing. I don't hear this anywhere else. I hear no emotion. I hear no outrage. I hear no real care. The same thing. Constitution. Every day the same thing about Republicans and Democrats. That's not the issue. That's crap. This is the issue. This is the issue. The scorched earth policies of the psycho Obama.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
No later than 90 days from today, the department will complete and issue both a commander's guidebook for leaders of currently serving transgender members and medical guidance to doctors for providing transition-related care, if required, to currently serving transgender service members. Our military treatment facilities will begin providing transgender service members with all medically necessary care based on that medical guidance.
In the same time, Ashton Carter will be tried for treason and probably in a same time be given life imprisonment for what he just read. Now, why do I say it? Because I hate transgenders? No, I don't. Not at all. I respect all people. I respect all people's sexuality. I've said it 1,000 times, I am a sexual libertarian. However, when it comes to children, I am not a sexual libertarian. You touch a child, you should have your hands cut off and be executed. That's what I would do with child molesters. I'd kill them. I'd give them one appeal and have them executed. But I'm a sexual libertarian when it comes to people's behavior. I really don't care what people do to derive their sexual pleasure. However, when it comes to tampering with the greatest institution, the greatest military institution the world has ever seen, the United States military, and I see what this scorched earth psychopath Obama is doing to it, and this mouthpiece, Ashton Carter, I listen to his speech and how he speaks, and I know he knows he's a liar. B.A., Physics and Medieval History from Yale. Then he becomes a Rhodes Scholar. Oh, check one, red flag number one, Rhodes Scholar. Who else was a Rhodes Scholar? Bill Clinton. What is a Rhodes Scholar? Why is there a question mark about the word Rhodes Scholar? We'll move on. Theoretical physics, Rockefeller University, another red flag. Ford Foundation, professor of science and international affairs, Ford Foundation, another red flag. He then goes on to Harvard's John F. Kennedy School of Government, another red flag, another place for the wobblies. He then serves for Jimmy Carter, 93 to 96. Another red flag. And then he gets all of these awards for his distinguished public service. And now he gets up and reads this shameful decision to not only end the ban on transgender Americans in the U.S. military. That's another hyphenated American. You're a transgendered American? that suddenly became an ethnic group. That's like Italian American or African American, Jewish American. Now it's transgender American. It's now an ethnicity. Well, that's unto itself not the point. The point is, listen to everything he just said. It's all about medical care. Think of the scam and think of the scam artists who are going to make billions of dollars on this. But now, hold it a minute, add this to your thinking cap. Why would he put transgender transitional surgery as a priority ahead of those dying in veterans' hospitals right now waiting for proper medical care, unless he was enacting the scorched earth policies of Attila the Hun in the White House? WYAB in Mississippi. John, you're a veteran. Tell us your story.
Yes, sir. I'm a Marine Corps combat veteran. I served in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I got out 7 years ago, and I've been trying for 7 years just to get an appointment with the VA. I've only been able to talk to a live person twice, 7 years.
Well, I have an answer for you. You know, it's like illegal immigrants. People in America who can't get in, who try to get here legally, I tell them to go to Mexico, change your name to a Hispanic name, and the government will send you an Uber car to bring you in. I suggest that you put on your next application that you're a transgender and send it to the attention of Ashton Carter. I'm sure you'll get a personal visit from Air Force One. They might even invite you to a White House iftar dinner. That would be my suggestion. Then you'll go to the head of the line. Now, it gets even better, but I don't know if I can read this anymore, because I tell you, I don't want to blow a fuse today, if I haven't already. We go to Canada now, where your shameful Attila the Hun president gives a speech that unto itself would bring people to their knees and say, this is impossible. I want you to listen to him in Canada, surrounded by the socialist government apparatchiks in Canada, when he talks about the rejection of bygone days of order and predictability and national glory. I want you to listen to this shameful man, Attila the Hun Obama, in clip one.
If the benefits of globalization accrue only to those at the very top, if our democracies seem incapable of assuring broad-based growth and opportunity for everyone, then people will push back out of anger or out of fear. And politicians, some sincere and some entirely cynical,
like
will
you,
tap that anger and fear, hearkening back to bygone days of order and predictability and national glory, arguing that we must rebuild walls and disengage from a chaotic world, or rid ourselves of the supposed ills brought on by immigrants, all in order to regain control of our lives.
No, we must expel from our country radical jihadists like yourself. You must be deported. Of course, that's never going to happen. There's going to be a trial for what he's done to the country. Never in a million years. So he gives a speech to Canada's parliament, rejecting the old days of order, predictability, and national glory. Where have these days of order, predictability, and national glory gone? They've gone up in smoke because of him. This single man is like an emperor, an evil emperor like Nero, who did such evil to his nation that the Roman Empire never recovered. But wait, it gets even better. I got something else for you here in your walkaway cocktail. As he brings about this speech about the demise of nationalism and the nationhood, the idea of nationhood, listen to what happens amongst these sickos in the audience in the Canadian Parliament in clip two.
And as we go forward together on that freedom road, let's stay true to the values that make us who we are, Canadians and Americans, allies and friends, now and forever. Thank you very much. Merci beaucoup. Thank you.
So these weaklings, these socialists, the Marxists who run Canada, and run it poorly, by the way, chanting four more years to a man, telling us what, we should throw the Constitution away because of him? You know what? My mother was born in Canada. I'm now ashamed to tell you that. And here are things we can give back to Canada. They can have Canadian bacon. I'll never eat it again. Remember when we hated France, we wouldn't eat French fries? Don't eat Canadian bacon. Give up all the other things that are Canadian. The National Hockey League. They can have the Great Lakes. They can have Molson beer. They can have Canadian Club whiskey. They can have Crown Royale. They can have Maple Leafs. They can have maple syrup. They can take Justin Bieber, and they can take Ted Cruz as well. How's that for a list? I'm through with Canada. I never want to go over the border. It's a polluted state run by crazy, insane Marxists. They're not proud of their nation. All the boys who are dead in the cemeteries, the military cemeteries in Canada, are turning over in their grave that the very things they fought against, the very creatures that they feared, have taken over their own country. So there it is. This is the world we live in. And the world of order, the world of order that I love so much, the world of predictability that I love so much, the world of national glory that I love so much, they're telling me are gone. Tell that to Russia. Tell that to Vladimir Putin. Tell him that the days of glory are gone, that the days of predictability are gone. Tell that to Putin. This is what communists do to nations. They destroy the order of the nation in order to rebuild it in their own image. Now, if you want to talk about any of these topics, please do so with some degree of interest or intelligence. And don't get mad at me if I say thank you and just hang up on you if it doesn't add to the conversation. If you have anything to say, especially those of you who are in the officer corps of the military, I really would like to hear what you have to say. So let's go to some of the people. Here's an Air Force captain on KVOR radio. Peter from KVOR, tell us what you think this will do to the troops.
Michael, this will totally demoralize the troops, the men and women who serve proudly and diligently in the armed forces of the United States. Michael, God bless you. I'm a PhD as yourself. I was a Minuteman III launch control officer. I worked at the Pentagon. And I'm here to tell you, Michael, that there's nothing we can do to stop this man in the White House. But there is one thing we can do, Michael. The 4th of July is coming up, and I'm calling on all Americans, especially in the military, not to celebrate the fireworks this year. Let's make a statement, Michael. Let's say loud and clear that we want our country back. What do you think, Michael?
I think it's too late to start such a campaign to have any effect. Maybe a few people will have heard you. This would have been a good campaign if it was announced months ago. But it's not going to have enough of an effect to even register on the Richter scale at all. It's a great idea. I think there are so many more direct action methods that can be used, and they have to be used within the military. There must be a hardcore left in this military who can stand up like the men that they really are and say enough is enough. We are not going to put our veterans in the back of the bus in favor of transgenders. We're going to treat the American troops who fought for this country and give them the medical care that they are deserving, not the transgenders.
Bless you, Mike.
How's that? How's that for an idea? How about one press conference from any of the officer corps in the United States military? It's never going to happen. Never. It will never happen. Not in a million years. Because the phobia, the fear of the press is so great. We hear about Islamophobia from Hillary Clinton. We hear about xenophobia. We hear about homophobia, Islamophobia. How about pressophobia? It seems the entire military is filled with men who are suffering pressophobia. They're afraid of the little men, the little boys in shorts in the military, in the journalistic world. Are you kidding me? Well, anyway, what can I say that I haven't already said? So it's a very, very crazy day out here. And it's just crazy. This is the definition of insanity. This is the definition of an insane president. Or is he insane? No, he's not insane. He's not insane. He's like the Roman emperor who destroyed Carthage. And then after he destroyed Carthage for having dared stand up to Rome, he salted the earth in order to never let that great, great civilization ever reappear. Obama is salting the earth in every institution he can touch in his remaining days. This is a madman with a vendetta against the military unlike any you could ever imagine. And if you think that this is good for the military, I'd like you to tell me why. Now, let's turn it around. Tell me how this serves the military in its number one mission. Remember, the military is not a social service organization. The military was created to defend America and fight our enemies. That means kill the enemies. It was not created as an extension of Harvard University or NYU. It was created to crush and kill the enemy. And that's why we're losing the war against ISIS. A ragtag band that doesn't even have a Navy or an Air Force. That is why the military is crippled. It's because Obama is practicing a scorched earth policy within the officer ranks. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUICOIN. If you were ISIS and you just set off bombs in Istanbul and you got away with setting off bombs in San Bernardino and you got away with the Boston Massacre and you got away with every bombing in the United States of America and you wake up and you hear Ashton Carter giving a speech how they're going to bend over backwards to make certain that transgenders are safe and happy in the military and they're going to give them priority in medical care. Tell me what that would do if you were in ISIS. But wait, I'll raise the stakes. It's something more for your walk away cocktail. How do you think this is going to impact China? Tell me what the Chinese generals are thinking today. Have you thought about that one? Here's an email to the Savage Nation. Anonymous writes, as a gay man, I feel we have more pressing issues to worry about than transgenders in the military. Like defining the enemy as radical Islamic extremists. Like declaring war against the Islamic State. He says, I'm stunned how my community can stand around with We Stand Against Islamophobia signs when they're killing us in the Middle East and the Obama administration wants to import thousands of migrants who will never assimilate to Western values. This is sick. He says, we must elect Trump the president of all people. How are the Russians faring? Do you think the Spetsnaz special forces in Russia are going to be shaking in their boots today because Ashton Carter is going to end the ban on transgender Americans in the U.S. military? Now, look, you can make silly jokes about it. I've met gay men who could knock your block off. So don't assume that because a man is gay, he's a weakling or a coward. The opposite is true in many cases. But we're not talking about gay men here. We're talking about something entirely different. We are talking about a very, very small minority of individuals who are sexually confused, who think that they're a man in a woman's body or a woman in a man's body, and then they want the whole society to say to them what they believe they are at the risk of getting sued, or worse yet. That's what we've been living through here in this society since Caitlyn Jenner came along in order to get another 15 minutes of fame. Now it's going into another branch of the America that we all love, which is the military, which is not a social service organization. It's meant to kill the enemy. It's not for training. It's not to give people jobs. It's to kill the enemy before they kill us. Can anyone listening to this show, as liberal as you may be, can you honestly say in your heart of hearts that bending over backwards to give transitional surgery to a man who wants to be a woman, meaning having his private part cut off and thrown in a garbage can, with all the hours that that will take, the months it will take of recovery with that individual doing nothing but laying in a hospital bed and going through rehab, that's going to make the military more ready? You want me to reverse it for you? I don't want to be vulgar. How about a woman who wants to be a man and wants to have surgery to create a male appendage in her body? You know how many months of surgery of recovery it is from surgery like that? So the military is now going to let that deadbeat lay on a bed and go through rehab for a year and do nothing for the military? Think of the actual ramifications of organizing such a crazy thing for the U.S. military. Person wants to do that, I wouldn't say good luck to them. I think that they need therapy, and I'm not alone in that. I think even the American Psychiatric Association has said enough is enough. This is like a mass hysteria right now. But the military is another story altogether. That's hour one. It's more than you'll get from 10 other shows in 10 years.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hour number one was my version of a scorched earth radio show, to be honest with you. I gave it my all. I blew out my pipes. Frankly, I left nothing in the theater. There's nothing left for me to give. I gave it my all. What effect it will have, I doubt it'll have any effect. I think the country is dead. I think the military is filled with a bunch of deadbeats from the top down. Yeah, the young guys who go in, maybe some of the young women can fight like hell and they're ready to give their life for the country. I think that this Caesar of ours, who has practiced a scorched earth policy on virtually every institution that is worthy of the name Great America, has today topped himself with a new attack upon the military just in time for the July 4th celebration, which I talked about in hour number one, and I'm not going to repeat myself. So in this hour, I'm going to do something different for you instead of repeating myself. And I have a report that no one else has in the media, not even NBC News, not ABC News, not the Drudge Report. Nobody has it. I got it. It was a declassified document that was just released from the Department of the Navy, Commander Destroyer Squadron 50, PSC 851. And it says not releasable to foreign nationals. It was a secret report. Prior to that, to today, it was just declassified because they removed a certain enclosure. And it's a command investigation to inquire into incident in the vicinity of Farsi Island involving two riverine command boats, RCB 802 and RCB 805, on or about 12th January 2016. Remember that event under Commander Obama when the boys and girls were captured by the Iranians without firing a slingshot, without firing a machine gun, without trying to evade, and then some of them were broken down into tears, and the Iranians paraded them around like little sissies. Well, they fired the captain of that command, and I'm not so sure he's not a fall guy. I don't know. But I'm going to read this report to you because I just got it an hour ago. It's a very important U.S. Navy document. I'll put it up on michaelsavage.com and Facebook right after I read it to you. Again, I would ask you to please, today is the last day, right? Today or tomorrow, to vote for me into the radio, National Radio Hall of Fame. All you got to do is text the name Savage, S-A-V-A-G, to 36500 and tell all your friends to do so. Because if I am elected or nominated and get inducted, I get to give a little talk. I'll thank you for borders, language, and culture. That's the message. And that's it. So they investigated it. Oh, wait, no. Before I do the investigation, I have something else to show you the mentality of this administration, if you don't already know it. Here is a creature who is the head of the Interior Department, somebody named Sally Jewell. A real gem she is. And she then makes a statement in clip 20 that speaks for itself. Listen to the hatred she has for white males in clip 20.
We are, through the National Park Service, largely America's storyteller. And yet if you drive around Washington, D.C., in every circle and every square, you generally see a bronze white guy, sometimes on a horse, sometimes not. You have to work really hard.
You hear the way she said it, bronze white guy? That's her puppet master's speaking. Her puppet master speaks like that. That's an in-joke inside the White House. A bronze white guy. See, that's a little joke that the inner circle has. I'll remind you what the communists do after they take over a country. They usually knock down the statues of the heroes, and they replace them with communist heroes. That's what you're listening to. And so she hates bronze white guys. I don't know if she actually likes real white guys. I kind of doubt it. But we know she has contempt for bronze white guys. Of course, there's statues built for bronze white guys because they're heroes who actually built America. That's why there's bronze white guys. That's why they are bronze white guys. But let's put that aside. This is part and parcel of the scorched earth policy we're talking about. So let's go back to the Fifth Fleet, January 2016, and see what the Navy found about the incident in the vicinity of Farsi Island when the two command boats were intercepted by the Iranians, captured without firing a shot, humiliated, and we'll find out what they actually gave up. You're not going to believe this report. I can't read the whole thing to you. I'll post it on michaelsavage.com. I'll put it on my Facebook account. I think you're going to be sick to find out what they did. They should all be charged. By the way, court-martialed. Everyone on those boats should be court-martialed. in my opinion. 10 crew members manned, that's a funny word. 10 crew members manned, are they going to have to change that in their reports from now on? 10 crew members, how would they change that? 10 crew members woman, no. 10 crew members transited, the 2RCB, no, we can't do that. 10 crew members, oh, we're on the 2RCB. See, they're not going to spend months figuring out how to change every report. 9 enlisted and 1 officer. Blah, blah, blah. So they say from the moment RCB 802 and RCB 805 got underway, RCB 802, that's the boat, altered course from the plan of intended movement to expedite meeting with U.S. Coast Guard cutter Monomoy to refuel before sunset, and did so without giving notice or receiving permission. That's an interesting statement right onto that. I never heard of anything like this. Why would they have decided to alter course to refuel without giving notice or receiving permission? That I don't understand. Are you ready for the next discovery? If you're interested in this, I don't know if you are. I mean, I could say the word Trump, or Hillary, and the dials will stop turning. Or I could say the latest poll, without saying pot. And I know it'll happen. You'll listen longer, but I'll go on with the report because it's of interest to me. It's news. It's actual news. For each boat, 2 of the 5 weapons were mounted but not manned. Again, we'll have to change the word manned. They were not womaned. 2 of the 5 weapons were mounted but not womaned. What were they mounted for? I don't know. They were mounted. Would they have bullets in them? Anyway, 7 nautical miles into the transition. The word transit now makes me worry. I don't know what they're referring to, but 7 miles into the transit. One boat established satellite communications with the Bahrain TOC controlled by Commandant Task Unit, blah, blah, blah. You ready for the next line, those of you interested in this? The boat RCB 802 lacks satellite communications with higher authority throughout the entire transit. How is that even possible? How could they have no satellite communications with higher authority? Okay. At 1527 hours, RCB 802 and 805 unknowingly entered Saudi Arabian territorial seas without coordination with Saudi Arabia or communication to higher authority. Now, they're not referring to God because this is the military. They mean higher authority within the military. At 1546, RCB 802 and 805 unknowingly entered Iranian territorial waters, seas surrounding Farsi Island. Here's an interesting point. U.S. Coast Guard cutter Monomoy notified CTG 56-7 that the RCBs appeared to be inside Iranian territorial seas. Now, let's pause right there. If I were the admiral in command, I would have sent the Coast Guard cutter and a destroyer as quickly as I could into that area to rescue those boats. And I would have blown the Iranian boats out of the water. But apparently the admiral in charge was busy reading his transgender journal, his transgender manual, and what he has to say and what he has to do for the new military, and he didn't say a word. The RCB crews did not identify the landmass as Farsi Island and were unaware that they had entered Iranian territorial seas. Despite entering both Saudi Arabian and Iranian territorial seas, both boats were exercising their right of innocent passage in accordance with customary international law. That's the most important point in here, by the way. Even though the guys who were running these boats, or whoever was running them, entered Saudi Arabian and Iranian territorial seas, they were not violating any international law. They were exercising the right of innocent passage in accordance with customary international law. While conducting innocent passage, one of the boats developed indications of loss of lube oil pressure in the starboard engine. That's a heck of a statement. As a man who's owned boats all his life, how could a military vessel lose lube oil pressure if it was properly maintained? The answer is it was not properly maintained. That's number one. So anyway, it occurs a mile and a half south of the Farsi Island. So as a precautionary measure, the boat's coxswain, sorry to have to use that word. I know to none folks in the Navy that sounds like a dirty word, but it isn't. The boat's coxswain went all stop on both engines. RCB 802 remained dead in the water and began troubleshooting the engine casualty. RCB 805 remained nearby. Between 5 to 15 minutes later, the RCB crew members visually sighted 2 small boats coming towards them from Farsi Island. Now, right then and there, there should have been a U.S. destroyer, a Coast Guard cutter, in that area stopping the Iranians. But because we have a scorched earth psychotic running the government who has debased the military, ruined the Navy, no such Coast Guard cutter was sent to defend them. Shall I go on, or have you heard enough? Then there's an interaction with the two Iranian small boats. And then it gets interesting. I got to read this to you. I got to read the rest of this to you. So the two Iranian small boats come over there. And instead of immediately loading the machine guns up and pointing them at the Iranian boats, the boat's commander, this little boat, attempts to make contact with the small boats via VHF radio communication, but was ultimately, you know what that's like? That's nothing. It's a shortwave radio. Every boater with a Chris Craft or a carver on the boat has such a radio. You go on 17 and you say, come in Schmendrick. Come in Schmendrick, put down your beer bottle for 2 seconds. As the Iranian small boats approached, the Iranians uncovered their crew-mounted weapons and pointed them at the RCBs. Listen to this. As the RCB 802 boat captain was not aware of their location in Iranian water or the overall threat environment, he initially believed that the small boats were fishing vessels that meant no ill intent. You mean fishing vessels point machine guns at him and the moron didn't do anything? So then, listen what happens. I'm reading from a one secret report that I got. No one in the media has it. It's fascinating. While some 802 and 805 crew members had manned their crew-mounted weapons, the RCB 802 boat captain ordered that they back off their weapons so they did not seem intimidating. Oh, my God. My God. Do you know how the U.S. Navy was created? I'm going to pause now from the report before I go to an all-important commercial break. Do you know how the United States Navy was created? We had merchant vessels traversing the coast of Africa, the Barbary Coast, where Arab pirates, Muslim Arab pirates, yes, it's them again. Yes, Muslim Arab pirates, yes, Muslim Arab pilots, boat captains, were intercepting our unarmed commercial vessels and stealing the cargo and killing the crew. So we had to make a navy. It was called the U.S. Navy, was created to defend our merchant ships. But the ships alone weren't good enough, so they had to get the worst, toughest people they could find in the bars and other seedy places around the East Coast. They went and found the worst, toughest guys they could find. Today they'd be in cage fighting or in Corcoran prison. And they enlisted them in a new division created just for them called the United States Marines. And they gave them a sword, a flintlock pistol, and they gave them something new to the military, which was a leather guard around their neck. So when they got into a sword fight with the Muslim pirates, they could fend off some of the blows with a leather guard around their neck, and that's where the Marines got the name Leather Neck. I'll be back in a minute. Now wait, we've gone from leather necks, who would intimidate the enemy just by looking at them, to, let's say, feather necks, who didn't want to intimidate the enemy. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Break that record. Hold it. That may represent the Great South. I think that, is that a racist song? Glory, glory, hallelujah. I don't even know anymore. What can I play on the show? I kind of like the tune. I used to hear it in elementary school. Is that a racist tune now? I don't know. Do we have to go to Al Sharpton to find out what we're allowed to listen to on the radio? Anyway, we've gone from leathernecks to feathernecks in one administration. From Navy SEALs to Navy squeals in one administration. From airmen to hairmen. In one administration. Now, I was playing with this during the break while eating a takeout lunch in a box. I'm enjoying myself because it's the last... Look, all I have is my sense of humor to keep me sane. If I can't have a sense of humor about what this scorched earth Caesar is doing to this country, I think I would have died a long time ago. I would have just died from despair. To put transgenders ahead of rotting veterans, rotting in hallways that can't get care, to give them transition surgery over them, and they get away with it without being stopped. So I make up jokes. From airmen to hairmen is my funniest one. I like leathernecks to feathernecks, but then I like Navy SEALs to Navy squeals. That got me a laugh. Then I went to the sink for a water, and I said, from airmen to hairmen, that was good. I'd like to add to that. Now, let me go on with the report now, this just declassified report that nobody in the media has yet. So we're talking about the two boats that went aground, went into Iranian waters, and they see a boat coming at them with machine guns aimed at them, and the idiot who's running the command tells them to stand down so you don't look intimidating. Now I'm reading. The RCB 802 boat coxswain repaired 802's engine. What was a piece of hair caught in the fuel intake? RCB 802 attempted to come up in speed, and the two Iranian boats maneuvered in front of the RCB, racked their weapons, and pointed AK-47s and crew-mounted weapons at the RCB 802's crew. The RCB 802 boat captain ordered the RCB 802 boat coxswain to accelerate through the Iranian vessels. Well, there's a Medal of Honor right there. The 802 boat coxswain disregarded this order. And refused to accelerate through the Iranians. Well, then the Iranian boats surrounded the 802 and continued to point 50 cal and AK-47 machine guns at the crew. So right away, there's something there right now. Next, the RCB boat captain orders the RCB gunners to step away from the weapon mount. So the captain says, run through them. The coxswain loses his nerve or her nerve, won't do it, and they get surrounded. You didn't read this anywhere. You didn't hear it anywhere except right here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. I'm Savage here, attempting to be a bronze white guy in his lifetime. I would love a statue made in my honor somewhere, bronze white guy. But having said that, you know, we're talking about the secret report that I got that was just declassified yesterday. I don't know when, recently. It's nowhere to be found. It's about the Iranian capture of our boats, who did what and why, and I think it's an important story. I'm enjoying reading it with my little asides. If you're not interested in it, I apologize. I think it's a bigger story than you may imagine. Because I've not seen this anyway, anywhere. From airmen to hairmen, I did already. From paths of glory to gory moles in one generation. From paths of glory to gory moles in one generation. Over there. As the Iranian small boats approached, the Iranians uncovered their crew-mounted weapons and pointed them at the RCBs. Da-da-da-da-da. As the RCB 802 boat captain was not aware of their location in Iranian water or the overall threat environment, he initially believed that the small boats were fishing vessels, blah, blah, blah. They meant no ill intent, so he tells them to back off their weapons so they didn't seem intimidating. That's the U.S. Navy's response now. Again, from leathernecks to feathernecks. Next. The report says the engine's repaired. The captain tells the coxswain to go right through the accelerate through the Iranian vessels. The boat coxswain disregarded this order and refused to accelerate through the Iranians. Then the Iranian boats surround the boat, our boat, points their 50 cals and AK-47s at the crew. The captain of our boat orders the RCB gunners to step away from the weapon mounts. Next, the 802 boat captain attempts to verbally establish communications with the Iranians, but none of the Iranians spoke English well. The RCB 802 boat captain believed that the Iranians were retrieving a translator from Farsi Island. This did not occur. Retrieving? Who wrote this? Were retrieving a translator? You mean bringing in a translator? It didn't happen. Moments later, two additional Iranian boats came from Farsi Island with upward of 15 additional armed crew members. Now, let me stop right there. We had an opportunity to send in a destroyer or a Coast Guard cutter right at the point at which we found out they didn't know where they were, before the Iranian boats arrived, and protect them and get them out of there. But we didn't do it. The admiral in charge should be fired. My opinion. Armchair captain, armchair admiral. But I know I'm right. Moments later, two additional Iranian boats come, 15 men. The Iranians motion for the RCB crew members to step away from their weapons and for the boat to come alongside and nest with RCB 802. Nest. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Two Iranians trying to push RCBs to an unknown island with weapons trained. This was the last transmission from the boats. Once the two boats were lashed together, our boats, the Iranians boarded, removed the U.S. flag. You hear this? Are you listening to this? replaced it with the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps Navy flag, and instructed both crews to board and assemble on the aft part of the boats with their hands behind their heads. The Iranians searched the RCB crew members, confiscated their possessions, blindfolded them, tied their hands together with pieces of ripped Iranian flags. With the Iranians aboard, the two RCBs, driven by U.S. crew members whose blindfolds were temporarily removed, were directed to Farsi Island. Upon arrival at Farsi Island, the crew members, still blindfolded, blah, 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 escorted to a holding area in a carpeted room where the Iranians removed their blindfolds and freed their hands. Throughout the evening, the Iranians began interrogating each crew member in a separate room, while the other crew members were able to sleep and eat. Well, that's so nice of them. Because all communication had been lost with the RCBs, at 8:10, the U.S. 5th Fleet Maritime Ops Center began search and rescue operations and directing the USS Anzio and U.S. Coast Guard Monomoy into Iranian territorial seas. The MOC directed airborne assets to include U.S. Air Force B-1, F-15, U.S. Navy F-A-18s, E-2s, and P-3 aircraft to begin airborne search and rescue inside Iranian territorial seas and overhead Farsi Island. A U.S. Navy E-2 spy satellite plane from the USS Harry S. Truman establishes communications with the Iranians, and a U.S. P-3 positively identified two RCBs pier sighted Farsi Island. So a spy satellite can see our boats lashed up there at a pier. Now, what's intriguing to me here is that we have big ships in the place after the fact. Why were they not dispatched immediately? Why were they not dispatched immediately and to protect our boats? That's a question for the Naval Inquiry Board to conduct. I mean, this to me is a movie right here. Remember the Kane Mutiny Court Martial movie with Humphrey Bogart, based on that great novel, I think, by Herman Woke, where Humphrey Bogart plays a captain who's tried for dereliction of duty because, I forget what he did wrong, and he's seen rolling the two steel balls in his hand during the hearing, the inquiry. And it's an amazing movie. I don't think that movie can be made today. People don't have the ability to sit and watch something like that, unless it has somebody with gold teeth cursing every 3 seconds, or let's say a gun in the picture, or a rape scene against a fan going in a wall. I think that the theater would be empty because it has too many words in it in English. Okay, so the captain's interview. The Iranians demanded he recite words to the effect that we were sorry that we entered into Iranian territorial waters and that we were treated well, and a condition for the crew members' release. After multiple attempts and coaxing by the Iranians, the boat captain ultimately recited the words as demanded. The crew members were then blindfolded and escorted single file, hands on each other's shoulders, to the piers where the boats were located and boarded the boats. Their blindfolds were taken off, which revealed both RCBs ransacked and equipment wires cut. By the way, that's a violation of international law. We should have bombed Iran for that. We should have blown Farsi Island into the sea. We should have fired Tomahawk cruise missiles and blown up their command and control centers in that island. But you know that the psycho running the military wouldn't do it. Okay, blah, blah, blah. The RCBs got underway from the Farsi Island pier and proceeded to meet USS Anzio under escort by four armed Iranian patrol boats. Why did we seize the armed Iranian patrol boats to get even with them? Why don't we blindfold those vermin? At 12:55, 802 and 805 left Iranian territorial seas and came alongside the USS Anzio. Meanwhile, you have Iranian boats escorting them. Why not tie them up and make them recite things? Okay, so then he turned it over to an investigation in January of 2016. And now we have a long, long sequence of bureaucracy here. And here's the opinions now of our military and recommendations. This incident was caused by series of mistakes. No, sorry, they said series, not a series of mistakes, but series of mistakes. They probably got someone in there who doesn't even read English writing this. This incident was caused by series of mistakes that culminated in the seizure of 802 and 805. These mistakes included, but were not limited to, inadequate manning. That word has to be changed after the trans story of today. Inadequate staffing. Insufficient basic advanced and sustainment training. Poor communication up and down the chain of command. Ineffective maintenance procedures. No kidding. Lack of navigational experience. I wonder who they put in the Navy now. They can't navigate. And oversight and poor leadership and judgment. No kidding. Where appropriate, this command investigation recommends the commander of 5th Fleet take appropriate administrative action against certain personnel. Many personnel have left the 5th Fleet operational chain of command. Where'd they go? To Home Depot? To give away little sausages? Accordingly, this command investigation should be forwarded to the appropriate commander. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, okay. Now there's more pages. I've only read, of this secret report, I've only read 15 of 80 pages. And I don't see anything else in here that's worth reading. Legal issues, methodology. I don't understand how the military can function with this kind of crippling bureaucracy. There's a lot more in this that I can't read to you now about what they seized, what the Iranians did, the crew members' statements and what they said and what they didn't do, and what a riverine brownwater navigation boat is. That's what John Kerry was on in Vietnam, by the way. Riverine. What is a riverine boat? Brown water will be defined as the inland waters that are typically non-tidal, but where the water level can rise and fall the same as in tidal. Oh, I don't know how they didn't work in global warming into this report. They failed right here to satisfy the Caesar in the White House and to Sally Jewell in the Interior Department. There's no mention of global warming in here. I'm surprised they didn't say the whole thing was caused by global warming. They could have said that because of global warming, they were blinded by the sea and confused by the brown water in the river. And as a result, they were taken in by the Iranians, who were not confused by global warming because they lived with it for so many years because of the evil Americans who have caused the global warming. Consists of minor rivers, usually not navigable by medium or deep draft craft, but are too deep to be forded without difficulty. These waterways are generally considered to be obstacles. Blah, blah, blah. One of major rivers, blah, 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 blah. Right. Coastal green water navigation. Coastal blue water navigation. Ugh. Cogent? Toolkit? RC is a nice picture of the boat. They can give it away to every enemy now. They have a whole, it's a schematic of one of our boats. It's exploded and open so anyone in the world can look at it. Where the gun mount is, where the grenades are, where the ammo is kept, the fuel capacity. I don't know why the Iranians had to bother seizing the boats. All they had to do was ask the Navy to send it over by fax. They could have emailed them a PDF. This is the crippling bureaucracy that the U.S. military has become. It's frightening. I don't know how a brave individual can kind of live through this anymore. Coastal Riverine Squadron 3 Readiness. All right, I'm going to put it up on michaelsavage.com for you to peruse if you have nothing else to do over the weekend other than get drunk, eat a food that will give you cancer, and I don't know what else you're going to do over the weekend. What do people do? They eat a hot dog? They guzzle a beer? They go to a barbecue? They have no idea what they're doing with knobby knees and a pair of shorts. Then they eat garbage food, and they take a diabetes pill and a cancer pill, and everyone takes a pill thinking it's going to protect them. I know a guy, he eats garbage. He eats the worst saturated fat foods you can imagine. He said, but I take an anti-cholesterol drug. I said, oh, my God. And he's a smart guy, doesn't know what he's doing. He was sold a bill of goods the way the Americans think that Obama's actually a patriotic leader. I could give you an aside, but I won't do it. There's no point anymore in talking about scorched earth because that's what we're living through. I think when I come back, I'll take a few calls, and that'll be, and boom, and we'll move on to all the other news of the day. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
As a result of this year-long study, I'm announcing today that we're ending the ban on transgender Americans in the United States military.
All right.
Effective immediately.
War crimes trials. If Trump becomes president, war crimes trials. Ashton Carter goes before a board, and he's tried for treason, dereliction of duty and treason, and he's given a life sentence in Leavenworth Penitentiary. You don't know what this actually means. Many of you are so stupid and so stupefied by the brainwashing that you actually think this is just about being kind and gentle to people who have sexual, let us say, confusions, if you want to put it that way, or ambivalences. Let's put it that way. Do you know what this is going to do in terms of costs, medical costs? Some of the key concerns involved in the repeal of the ban on transgender individuals include whether the military would conduct or pay for the medical costs, surgeries, and other treatments associated with any gender transition, as well as which physical training or testing standards transgender individuals would be required to meet during different stages of their transition. Wait. Unnamed defense officials told the Associated Press that the military also wants time to tackle questions about where transgender troops would be housed, what uniforms they would wear, what berthing they would have on ships, which bathrooms they would use, and whether their presence would affect the ability of small units to work well together. Well, I rest my case. They're taking your father, who's waiting in a hallway of a veterans hospital for years to get any kind of medical care, and they're putting these people at the head of the list. A small, tiny percentage of the population at the head of the list in the military. Why? Because the Caesar who is running America with a scorched earth policy is part of a band of radical revolutionaries like the jihadists who have hijacked Islam. Obama and his radical militants have hijacked the U.S. military. No, they do not represent the United States military. They do not represent the military in any way, shape, or form. They are just like the militants who we are told, who represent a very tiny percentage of the Muslim population who have hijacked the great religion. Well, I would say that Obama and Ashton Carter and those behind the scenes are just like these militants in that they've hijacked a great institution, the U.S. military. And that's my message of the day. They are the jihadis of our society. Sandra, on KVOR, you're going to have the last word. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, my husband has been in the U.S. Air Force for 30 years. He's getting ready to retire, and I'm so thankful that he's not going to have to deal with this. But according to the Department of Defense statistics, of the 2 million active duty military people, only 4,000 identify as transgendered. So we're totally turning.
So for 4,000 individuals, they have to now change every ship in the Navy, create new bathrooms on submarines. They have to now decide what uniforms they should get. And more than that, wait, do you know what surgery costs to cut a man's private parts off and turn it into a woman's genitalia? Do you have any idea what kind of surgery is involved? And do you know how long it takes to recover from that surgery? It renders the individual unfit for service at any time. For years, they will be unable to perform adequately. Why would you want to do that in the military unless you wanted to weaken the military? It's certainly not going to strengthen the military, would it?
It's going to totally...
I would say that if a man wakes up and says all his life he always thought he was a woman in a man's body, I would say that he says to himself, all right, so that's what I live with, that's who I am, I'll continue to do my job. But I wouldn't expect the Navy to pay for my surgery, would I? Would they expect the Navy now to twist the whole Navy around my particular, let us say, fantasy about myself?
...realizes the troops who have served. I come from a family that has my father served in World War II, my father-in-law served in World War II. I come from a family of veterans of long line, and I am so upset and so angry that our...
Well, I hope that my anger, my outrage, which got me a little sick today in the first hour, expressed for you what you'd like to say, because I gave it my all. I blew out all the stops. I'm going to send you Government Zero, and I'm going to ask you to go to your little iPhone and text my name, Savage, to 36500, and tell everybody in the military to do the same. That's right, Savage, to 36500, to nominate me for the National Radio Hall of Fame. I am fighting for my professional life. I can't tell you any more than I just did. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We have been talking about how under Tsar Obama, we have gone from leathernecks to feathernecks in one administration, from Navy SEALs to Navy SQUEALs, from airmen to hairmen, from paths of glory to gory molds in one generation. And my friends, I have nothing more to say. I cannot add to what I've already said today. If you missed the first hour, you missed a great hour of radio. If you missed the second hour, you missed a disclosure that has not been heard yet in the media anywhere in the world. And I think it's now posted or should be posted within the afternoon on michaelsavage.com. It's the whole report of the Iranian debacle. Here it is. Top secret report of Iranian seizure of U.S. boats off Farsi Island. I thank my good friend Captain X for giving this to me from the U.S. Navy Intelligence News Service, which has not yet made it to the media. It was released on June 30th at 1:39 p.m., which is today. And it's up on my site today. And it's the whole sad story of how incompetence and cowardice led to the seizure. Okay, my friends, 855-407-282. I don't want to repeat myself. You can repeat yourself. A couple other headlines. Your Attorney General Lynch, who's the most disgraceful, embarrassing Attorney General. She makes, who was the last one? What was his name? The Fast and Furious guy? The another one who should have been indicted, who fled, who got out of Dodge before he was indicted for Fast and Furious. Now, Loretta Lynch is shielding the Clinton Foundation. This is a headline on the Drudge Report from the Daily Caller. Shielding the State Department. Shielding the Clinton Foundation. State Department won't release Clinton Foundation emails for 27 months. How is that possible in a free society? Duh. Under the Tsar, we have no free society. Instead, he goes to Canada and gives speeches about the bygone days of order and predictability and national glory. It's astounding how you can't see this. Okay, I think I've covered all I'm going to cover in one day. There's only so much one man can do. Well, most of you don't want to hear anymore. That's it. I know you've had enough. Do you think the State Department is hiding information that would hurt Hillary Clinton's chance of being elected president? Duh. What State Department? You mean Hillary's department? 6,000 emails and you don't care about it because it's a Republican? No, because it's a Democrat. So what are you going to do about it? U.S. District Judge Rudolph Contreras, a President Obama-appointed judge, had previously ordered the State Department to release the requested documents by July 21. But Department of Justice criminals, meaning lawyers, informed the judge last night that the State Department discovered errors in the manner in which the searches have been conducted in order to capture documents potentially responsive to plaintiff's request, and they're not going to release them now for months. Now, they should go to prison for this. I would send in U.S. Marshals and say, if you don't turn them over in 24 hours, you're going to jail. Department of Justice lawyers should be arrested immediately. 24 hours to turn them over or go to jail. That's what should happen. There should be a showdown. Someone has to fight back. Somebody has to stand up to the czar. Am I wrong in this? Do you? No, this is a judge appointed by Obama. Gave the State Department an edict to release the documents July 21. And now the most slimy of all lawyers in the world are in the Attorney General's office. And those slimy lawyers are saying that they made an error in how they downloaded them, so they can't release them until after the election. This is sickening. Okay, you don't care. Well, so I can see it's a dead in the water already. He's at the barbecue. The forks are out. People have got the sauce. They're chopping the onions already. They're cleaning the grill for the last time because the company's coming over. They ordered in the brew, the beer, make sure there's back refrigerator in the garage. How much electricity is wasted in this country? I often wonder as I bicycle around suburban houses. Everyone has a second refrigerator in the garage. When I grew up, there was one refrigerator in the whole house. Now everyone has a minimum of two. First, they have a commercial refrigerator in the kitchen that you could choke a barracks of army personnel on the food in there. Then no one. It's usually empty. It's like three chiclets and a jug of juice, and the Ritalin medication and the pet medication in the back. There's nothing in there, but they have a triple door refrigerator. It has to say Wolf on it for them to feel that they're driving a BMW of refrigerators. Then they have an old refrigerator that's also an old Wolf. Probably a bare refrigerator in the garage that they use for something else. I don't know what's in that one. What are they putting there, drinks? Now think of the electricity of that second refrigerator humming away there, leaking water on the floor of the garage. What do they need it for? Now you talk about a waste of energy. How many cars does the average American suburbanite have? Five, six, seven? How did that happen? I grew up, there was one car in the family. We couldn't afford more than one. It was a used car. No one bought a new car. In fact, when if someone bought a new car in my neighborhood, my father, remember, God rest his soul, would peek out of the blinds on Utopia Parkway, look at it. He had a used car, 2 years old. He'd always buy like a 2-3-year-old Cadillac, a cream puff. He'd search the newspapers high and low, God bless him, and he'd locate a cream puff. And he'd buy it because, you know, he was smart. It was already, he lost some money. And the upholstery, they, in those days, they put plastic. Could you imagine? People would buy a new car and put plastic covers on a car. You would say to yourself, wait a minute, who are you saving the seats for? For the guy you're going to sell it to? Why don't you enjoy the seats? So it was the same in houses. Would you believe how people ran their lives in the 50s? That's like they had a sofa in the living room with plastic covers on it. You weren't allowed to sit on it. You sat down, you felt like you were in a bowling alley. I don't know what you were. You stuck to it in the summer and you froze in the winter. Yeah, it's crazy. It's a different world, but the amount of energy that we spend today on things. One car per family was it. So he'd look out of the window, out of the blinds. He would push the blind down. He'd look. He'd peer. He'd give the peer. The captain would look out the window and he'd say, if they bought a new car, they bought it on time. They're faking it. They're just showing off. Could you imagine? In those days, no one bought anything on credit. The only thing they bought on credit was a house called a mortgage. Or else nobody could have bought a house. No, impossible. You can buy a house without a mortgage, right? That's buying on time. But the idea of buying a car you couldn't afford and making payments, it was an embarrassment to my father. It meant you were faking it. You were living beyond your ability. So it's unbelievable the different world we live in, right? What does it have to do with anything? Nothing. Nothing, but I already shifted. I'm not going to do that anymore. I got a semi-migraine on one side of the head. I'm burned out from the story. I'm so angry, there's nothing I can do about it. The czar gets away with anything he wants. The criminal who runs the Justice Department is another one appointed by the same group. You know, I tell you, the most important thing I said today, I'm going to repeat it again until you hear me. We're always lied to and told it's not Islam, but a few crazies who hijacked the great religion over and over again. It's not Islam, it's not Islam, it's not Islam, it's just not Islam. It's a small group of blah, blah, blah who hijacked the great religion. Well, I would say that Obama and Loretta Lynch, Sally Jewell, pick the names. They're the equivalent of the radical militants, the revolutionaries, who do not represent the United States of America because they've hijacked the great nation. They don't represent any American values, none whatsoever. They don't represent the U.S. military with this transgender nonsense. They've hijacked the greatest military in the world. They are much like the jihadis who have hijacked Islam. You like that analysis? I do. I think it's good. I'm proud of it. In fact, it's so good, I'm going to add it to Scorched Earth, which will be out around Labor Day. Yeah, I'm actually working on my last big book. No more, I swear to you, I can't do one more. That's it. It's the last and final sequel to Government Zero, Scorched Earth. Repairing America after the scourge of Obama. I mean, this guy is conducting a scorched earth like you can't believe. What it is, it's going to be an architectural plan for Donald Trump if he wins in November. If Hillary wins, you can burn my book. If Hillary wins, throw the book in the garbage. Throw it into a fireplace. Because everything that I'm advising in that book, the opposite will be done. I don't even know what country I would move to. If she wins, you know, a lot of people are saying if she wins, it's all over. I keep hearing this from very intelligent people. I never heard this from people before. I've heard people who are down, this and that. But they say if she wins, it's the end of America and they're leaving. But there's nowhere to go. Where are you going to run? Canada? What, are you can't wait to see Ted Cruz's relatives? What are you going to go get in Canada if you go there? What are you going there for? The Royal Canadian Mounted Police? They're not the Royal Canadian Mounted Police of your childhood, believe me. I mean, I could tell you a joke, but it's a family show. Every time I hear Mountie and Mountie Police, I'm sorry. Something comes to mind with today. You can't do it. What are you going there for? What does Canada have that you want? Canadian bacon? Niagara Falls? You got that on the Buffalo side. You can't get maple syrup in Vermont? What are you going to go for? Is it Justin Bieber's elementary school and throw a rose at it? Oh, you can't wait to get Canadian Club whiskey originally created by the bootleggers on the other side of the lakes? You look at the history, by the way, of Prohibition. Hey, there's a great movie out there. It's old, old, old. And I'm just talking now. Now I'm doing the rap. the rap. As soon as I'm in, I'll start playing drums and singing, and I'll get the fife out and start playing a flute if this keeps up. There's a movie called Miller's Crossing. Raise your hands if you saw it years ago. Let's see, in this audience of hundreds of thousands per 15 minutes, I see three hands, so forget it, I won't talk about it. But if you see it on television, catch the movie, it's pretty good. John Turturro does a... Raise your hand if you know who John Turturro is, the guy with the crazy eyes, the skinny Italian guy. He's a great actor, by the way. Guy is so talented, it's unreal. You talk about great acting, so he does a... He plays a small-town grifter gangster in the Prohibition era, and he gets in on the wrong side with the Irish mob in Chicago. So they send them a guy out to execute him in the woods at Miller's Crossing. You got the whole movie moves up to that point. And it's his friend who's given the gun and told to shoot his friend in the woods. So the two gangsters who tell him to go in the woods, they stay by the car, and they say, remember, one shot in the body and one shot in the brain to kill him. The guy doesn't want to do it. He says, you got to do it to show you with the good guys. So, okay, they go out there. And then John Turturro puts on a performance begging for his life, better than any I've ever seen in my entire life, ever in the movies. Ever. Ever. I've never seen anything like this performance. It's worth the movie just for that, to fast forward to the begging for his life, how he does it. Because you imagine if you were in that situation, would you beg for your life or you'd be John Wayne? Go ahead, make my day, man. Put one between my eyes. I'm not afraid of you. What would you do? You'd do the John Turturro. You'd get on your hands and knees and beg for your life, probably, right? No. You're a hero. I get it. Another hero there on the other side with the keystroke. Every keystroke heroes went from Keystone Comedy to keystroke heroes in one generation. Okay. Let me get out some, play some music for me. Play Coltrane. Not Coltrane. The other one I like. I'm so angry right now that I've reduced it into something else. I read somewhere that depression is anger, repressed anger. Well, I'm not depressed and I'm not angry. I'm beyond anger. I'm red hot with rage that I live in a country where there's no retribution to a man who's destroying everything. Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Give him an Alka-Seltzer and I'll see him in the casino. That's all. I can't, not in the mood. Alright, after this show, I'm gonna go in a dark room, put cold compressions on my temples, which are throbbing. And I don't think it's from the sushi, it could be. It could be from the combination of the wasabi. I don't know anymore what it is. The show, the wasabi. But the news is so depressing, and he keeps smirking and smiling and digging the knife in. Putting the knife in and turning it. And now we have on our side, all we have is what? Who do we have speaking for us? No one, Trump. So where are you gonna move if she wins? Have you thought about, has anyone thought about emigrating, becoming an expat? Where are you going to go if you're an expat? Where are you going to go? Romania? You're going to buy a castle in Romania now? Where are people going to go? Years ago, they had an answer. You could be an expat, let's say, in Mexico. Go great, with the death masks running around. Go be an expat in a fancy house in a bad neighborhood. See how long you last. That's over. So you can't go to Mexico. That's over. Maybe you'd like to be an expat in Honduras. Just wear, like, mosquito spray all the time. Put a net around, walk around with like netting around you like a Jane. In Honduras, you don't get Zika. You can't go there. There's nowhere to go. I don't know where anybody would move. What, Buenos Aires? You have to have an armed guard to go get your teeth cleaned? Patagonia? You want to live down there with the penguins? Robert, I don't know where people go today. Where can anyone emigrate if Hillary wins? It's a good question. A lot of people think New Zealand is great. It's a socialist nightmare. Horrible. There's nothing down there but dead sheep. A lot of crime in New Zealand. The indigenous people who were brutalized by the British who came in there. Oh, did they brutalize them? They killed everyone on Tasmania. So no wonder their descendants hate them. I mean, let's be clear about it. They slaughtered everyone in Tasmania. You don't know what I'm talking about. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
We are, through the National Park Service, largely America's storyteller. And yet, if you drive around Washington, D.C., in every circle and every square, you generally see a bronze white guy, sometimes on a horse, sometimes not.
Oh, shut up, you.
Work really hard.
Shut up, you. I love the bronze white guys. Anyone out in the audience object to the bronze white guy statues around America? I love the bronze white guys. It's why my ancestors fled the oppression of Russia. It was because of the bronze white guys. You. You ungrateful creature, you. Look, where did Obama get all of these people from? I know probably the worst universities in America, Harvard, Yale. Where do you think they are? He picks them, the worst monsters. Look where they go after government. They foisted one on the University of California. She ruined the system in the year she's been there. Remember her? Janet Reno, whatever, Janet Sterno, what was her name? The last one, not Janet Reno, the one that followed her in the next pickup truck with, who was the one who followed Janet Reno? There was another one. I don't Napolitano. Hey, Mambo Italiano, right, Mambo Italiano. She's now running the University of California into the ground. Another one put, again, upside down everything. Not, instead of putting excellence as the bellwether, now it's transgender, this gender, that gender. What is everything with gender in America? How did that become? Jim, your microphone's on. The whole audience is hearing you talk to callers. Put the kill switch. I heard it. Never mind. How did this country become obsessed with gender? You know, that's an intriguing question unto itself. I grew up, there were gay guys, and we had a gay guy in the crowd. And there's no joke coming. There was Fire Island, where a lot of gay people went. I mean, that was it. Then there was Stonewall. That was the gay people went to the village. No one made an issue of it. He was gay, he wasn't gay, that's all. That's the way you were, you went to the bar. If you didn't, you don't go to the bar. No one made it a story. The next thing I wake up, it's all everyone wants to get married. It's the opposite of what the gay people wanted when I was a kid. The reason guys that I knew became gay is because they didn't want to follow like in their mother and father. They were bored of that lifestyle. They said, I don't want to get stuck in with a living room and children and dental bills and lead a boring life. I'm serious. A lot of it had to do with a choice of leading a different kind of life, not just a sexual orientation. Let's say they were oriented that way, but they didn't want to go down the straight and narrow. But then all of a sudden, here comes the bride. I don't know how that happened all of a sudden. Then that shock hits us. Everyone's, oh, what's the difference? Whatever you want. It doesn't bother me. And we all got conditioned to that. Next thing you know, the whole world's now around 3 people out of 25 million who think that there should be a woman or a man or a this. I'm Lord Calvert, even though I was born a woman. I'm Lord Calvin, and even though I'm a man, I don't understand it. Now, okay, so we live with that. Oh, I don't care what anyone does. It's okay with me. It doesn't affect me. I'm not touched by it. I certainly doesn't challenge my sexuality because I'm so sure of my heterosexuality. Hey, let him live and be live. Gagas into hey, live and be well, man. Now you wake up, the whole military is now twisting itself in a circle over 4 people. Accommodations now on a nuclear submarine. Meanwhile, your grandfather is waiting for treatment in a VA hospital now for 7 months, 12 months. He's been put in a hallway in a broken wheelchair, and you're going to go get a transgender now, get a transition surgery. They'll cost $100,000. How is a person fit for combat if they're going to have that kind of mutilation surgery? They can't function for 2 years, 2 or 3 years. So why would you put people... See, by definition, anyone who wants transgender surgery is unqualified for the military because it would render them incapable of fighting in a fighting unit. They can't fight if you have surgery like that. It's like bringing in diseased refugees. Again, upside down because of the twisted Caesar in the White House. My grandfather was an immigrant, I will remind you. No one came in with diseases. They put you into quarantine. Remember the movie The Godfather, little Don Corleone. Put him into the, put him aside. Little Vito went into the thing, sat in the room for 9 months because he had TB, right? Now this guy goes out and looks for people with TB, looks for them with cholera. Anyone with malaria out there? We have one malaria. TB, step to the front of the line. This is like Obama, like a maniac. Let's go to Honduras to find as many people we can with Zika. Anyone got, let's say, fulminating tuberculosis? You, sir, step to the front of the line. What do you have down there? You have what? Leprosy. Oh, leprosy. Please step to the front of the line. Leprosy, please come to the front of the line. Let's see what else we... What kind of country allows this to happen? We have a... I told you that the definition of insanity is a disordered mind. By all definitions, Obama is insane. That's it. I rest my case. Now, that's why I'm saying that people are saying they can't take it anymore. They're going to crack from it. And if she gets in, if the Harridan wins, the criminal Harridan wins, they're saying they're leaving the country, but they don't know where to go. What, they're going to move to Canada for Canadian bacon? And Justin Bieber tapes? They want to go over the Niagara Falls in a barrel. They can't wait to get there for the maple syrup. They want to talk to construction workers on the pipeline. They want to cruise the pipeline for construction. I mean, come on, be realistic. What's in Canada now? Nothing. What's in Toronto? Oh, it's a great city. I love Toronto. People are like, love Toronto, love Toronto, love Toronto. Why? What's about Toronto? What's so good about Toronto? Reminded me of like the Lone Ranger when I hear Toronto. I thought they were misspelling it as a kid. Toronto. I said, you mean Tonto? No, the Toronto. That's where Tonto came from, Toronto. I had no idea. I used to love Canada. I did. I actually thought of emigrating. It's a very personal story to me. You don't know this. But for the grace of God, I wouldn't be an American citizen anymore. Yes, swear to God. I actually tried to buy land north of Vancouver in British Columbia. Oh, my goodness. 40 years ago, be worth a fortune today. Well, what wouldn't be if you didn't, you bought it then? I'll never forget it. I got off a plane in Vancouver. I got, I don't know, a car rental, whatever, to look at 100 acres north of, it said Vancouver. Because I always liked the Canadian people. I had an affinity. My mother was born there, and I always liked Canadian. The way they had, like, served tea. They were polite, very polite people. And during the Vietnam War, people were, you know, not raging with insanity towards each other. They were very polite, nice people. And the rodeos. So I went there to buy, like, 100 acres, and I flew there. I drove for 4 hours north of Vancouver. And a real estate broker, to this day, I hope he got punished with an illness for what he did. Whoa, did he lie to me? The land was next to us, like a lumber mill. The air smelled of sulfur, burning pulp. It was next to a pulp mill. Like for 50 miles around, your eyes would turn green. The minute you got out of the car, your eyes were burning. I had to turn around in the car before I even looked at the property. That was the end of my Canadian experience. And as a result of that, I wound up in California. So you gotta, you know, all things happen for a reason. I'm serious. Did I ever tell you I almost moved to Woodstock, New York? I swear to God, that's another mistake. You don't know that. But for the grace of God, it would have been Woodstock instead of Fairfax, California. I tried to buy a house in Woodstock at the time because I had a few creepy friends who lived up there. Oh, thank God that didn't go through. It was a beautiful house in the country in the Catskills. I always loved that countryside of Catskill Mountains because a kid, you know, grew up, went up there with the parents, country, always like nice, always nice waterfalls, creeks, clean air, pine trees, nice people, like bungalows, like pinball machines, Miller rolls, roast pork on garlic bread, lakes, little motors. It was like, you know, summer. So I tried to move to Woodstock. I wanted to buy a house and the deal fell through. It was $42,000. Would you believe it? Today it must be worth a fortune, probably 48, 49. I don't know what it's worth. But I don't know why it fell through. I think I tried to buy a hotel. That's what it was, a lodge hotel. I was going to be an inch key. It was another lie. That's what I remember now. I flew like 6,000 miles to look at this. Another rotten, lying real estate broker who's going to buy like a 20-room lodge in the mountains. I went there. It was on a highway, like cars zooming by. That was that. I wanted to kill the realtor right on the spot. He knew I was flying in from Hawaii. That was that story. So now here I am, years later. But it shows you how life directs you. Do you think that these are accidental things? I don't know anymore. Is it fate? Is it accident? Did God push me this way in order to be on the radio? Am I doing anything worthwhile? Who knows? I'll let you know when I get over to the other side. I'll send you a message in a bottle. No one ever comes back and tells you about that. How come they can't come back? Can't someone once come back and tell us whether it's all a lie or there is a God and you do get punished or rewarded? Please. Can't someone please come back and tell me for sure? It's like I'm going crazy with that question since I'm a kid. But yeah, I gamble. I gamble. I'm a gambler. I gamble that there is a God, there is a judgment day, and you do get punished for being bad on the earth. But that's not the reason I'm a good guy. It's because I'm a good guy. Nice people are good guys. I like animals, I like people who are weak to take care of them. I help everybody I possibly can, and I hate bad people. I hate them more than anything on earth. I hate mean people more than anything on earth. I hate them. I hate them for what they do to this country and what they do to other people. You know that? That's how I am. Don't think I'm crazy because I can love and hate at the same time, because if you can't, then you got something wrong with you. Read the Bible. For every, you know, thing there is a season. So I didn't even get to what I was going to do. It's like, where are people going to move if the Harridan wins? So let's take some calls of where people are going to go. Marlene on KSFO Radio in San Francisco. Marlene, where would you move if Hillary Clinton wins?
Iceland, but my husband said their economy's no good, but I can't think of any place else to go.
Iceland, they just indicted the prime minister. It was a crook. He stole a fortune and kept it in some hidden bank somewhere. What do they have in Iceland? They have, like, ice hotels and what else? Like a certain kind of vodka made from lichens? What's up there?
I heard it's supposed to be green there, and Greenland is supposed to be full of ice. But I don't know. I'm just trying to get away from Hillary, that's all.
No, I don't know. I look into some land in Greenland. I don't know what it looks like up there. They're all like descendants of the Vikings, aren't they?
Dr. Savage, I grew up in Queens, New York, about the time you were in Brooklyn. And
no, I was never in Brooklyn. Please don't insult me.
I
rarely set foot in Brooklyn, but thanks for the call. That's the kind of call I want to cut my wrist from. No disrespect, young lady, but the minute I hear, Mike, you know, I go to Brooklyn, I'm going to tell you, we go back a long way. That's it. The show killer from the get-go. Too familiar. At end of the radio show. You know, I grew up where you did. I think I know the deli. Did we have friends in common? Did you date Rita Horowitz at some point in Jamaica High School? No, that girl, that pretty girl. Where is she today? Oh, she's long gone. Oh, yes, yes. What she done? What she died? Oh, MS. It was terrible. Terrible end. She got it at 30. I don't want to hear those stories. It's a miracle that I'm still marching around here. So, please know old home stories that I'm from the Bronx and you're from Brooklyn and you're like me and I'm from you and this and that and the. So, you know, if you look back through history, you want to talk about warriors, you know that there are gay people who are always great warriors. Don't make the mistake that a lot of people do think because a guy is gay, he's weak or effeminate. Please, I hope that we've come far enough in society to understand that there are some phenomenal warriors who happen to be oriented in that direction, both male and female, incidentally. Let's just clear the air on that. That is not what I was talking about today. I'm talking about a deranged president who would foist transgenders upon a military at a time like this and put their medical treatment ahead of that of combat veterans who are dying in hallways, in case I haven't clarified my position. I just clarified it for you. All of you haters out there. All of you Soros rats. I just clarified my position. I just scared my dog here. He was sleeping. Now I woke him up. Okay, listen, I'm going to say it one more time. Today is the absolute last day you can nominate me for the Radio Hall of Fame. That's it. I won't say it again tomorrow. It'll be over, thank God. I can't wait till it's over already. I wish you just voted and I win or lose. I can't take it. Oh, I hate selling things. You don't know. It's hard for me. I like a free association in my head. If I can't free associate, I don't want to do radio. I can't do radio very well if I can't free associate, meaning rap. I'm the original rapper in the American media. That's really what it is. This is a political rap show. But instead of sounding like an illiterate moron from the gutter, I sounded like an articulate, intelligent man from the highest levels of society. And I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. You know, I'm looking at a videotape during the break. U.S.-led airstrike among deadliest in war against ISIS. It's the Iraqis taking credit for the blowing up. It's like a highway of death. They must have heard my show yesterday. Then they hit us with the transgender today, but they did it. Then they knew where they were. All of a sudden, they knew where ISIS's trucks were. They blew them out of the, and it's the Iraqis. You should hear this tape. I'm going to have it on the show tomorrow. And thank you for the weapon. And I got an arm and a leg and I saw a nose flying and keep the weapons. No, it's the Iraqis, thank God. Husky guys, they fly. They have their own air force. What do you think? They can't fly a plane? They're the ones who did it. I guess with our leadership, I don't know. I really don't know. U.S.-led coalition aircraft, that unto itself, I don't know what that means. Strikes against the Islamic State around the city of Fallujah. 250 fighters killed. That means ISIS vermin. And 40 vehicles destroyed. So Obama unleashed them finally after Turkey, after Istanbul. Because, hey, the guy who runs Turkey is in some spot if you really analyze that one. Is he on the side of the Kurds? Is he on the side of ISIS? Is he on the side of Assad? You don't know which way he's on. Or he's on all sides. And now that all changed after the bombing in Turkey and they unleashed on them. These guys are in good shape, these Iraqis. They're not fit like our pilots. In our country, everyone's skinny. gluten-free. Everyone watches every ounce of fat. These guys don't care. They eat lamb, the fat. I don't know what they drink over there. They're in great shape, these pilots. Heavy. These are old flyers from the Saddam Hussein there. You got to see this. You got to watch this videotape. I'm trying to go back to it. It's wonderful to see the ISIS trucks going up in flames. And this guy hocking a Chinook in Iraqi. On and on and on and on. And then blue and this and that.
There's
a wing going in the air. This is after the strike.
There's
a nose.
Yeah. Look carefully.
Oh, look at the ear going by with the hair attached.
There's a scalp.
Oh, yeah. There's a foot going by now. He did very good in Fallujah. Shalom
Aleichem.
Aleichem Shalom. Thank God you sent the weapons. He blew them to hell. Thank God for the American weaponry. And they're very good. Halavah, too. No, I'm not mocking the guy. I'm actually happy. I'm giddy. After today's show, I saw something for my money. At least some of my taxes were used properly. At least it wasn't diverted by a U.S. senator for a husband's gain or whatever. I saw a weapon being used that wasn't made by someone whose fingers from San Francisco touched the weapon in order to make sure he could extract a few dollars from it. All right. Vote, and that's it. Savage to 36,500, and I won't mention it again till I win.